This is Alive with Joseph.
What a time to be alive. Hallelujah. Let's get into scriptures this morning. Let's begin with the letter the Apostle Paul wrote to one of his proteges called Philemon, depending on how you pronounce it. Okay, let's look at Philemon chapter 1 verse 6. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Which is in you in Christ Jesus. So this morning we're looking at what a title at the cross, part 2. We opened it up and we're just going to keep building on it until the day of ascension as we celebrate that day. So follow me very carefully as we, you know, navigate through what the Lord is saying to us. Now, he says there that the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That is to say, the only thing that is in you now is good. The only thing in you now is good. And now that you are in Christ Jesus, the only thing that is in you now that you are in Christ Jesus is good thing. The only thing that is in you now that is now you are in Christ Jesus is good thing. He said that you acknowledge that. You acknowledge that. You have to acknowledge it. Now that you are in Christ, the only thing in you, good thing. That the communication of your faith may be effectual by you acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now the word acknowledge in that scripture is the word epignosis. The word acknowledge in that scripture is the word epignosis, a Greek word called epignosis, which means accurate, precise, exact, wholesome, and revelation knowledge. It means accurate knowledge, precise knowledge, exact knowledge, wholesome knowledge, and also revelation knowledge. That you acknowledge the word, the every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Then he continued, he said that the communication of your faith, the word communication in that scripture is a Greek word known as koinonia, which means fellowship, partnership, or participation. Or participation, fellowship, partnership, participation. So it says here that the fellowship, the partnership, or the participation of your faith becomes effectual. And the word effectual there, which, you know, it talks in that place, the word effectual there means all the time. The word effectual there means all the time. The word effectual there means all the time. The word acknowledge, epignosis, accurate, precise, exact, wholesome, revelation knowledge. Then it comes down to communication, which means koinonia, talks about fellowship, partnership, or the participation. Then it now comes to talk about effectual. The word effectual there means it works all the time. It works all the time. It works all the time. That is to say, the participation of your faith can work all the time when you come to the place of precise, exact, holistic, accurate, wholesome revelation knowledge of every good thing which is in you now that you are in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So it says that when the participation of your faith can work all the time, all the time, all the time. We meet you in the morning, it works. We meet you in the noonday, it works. We meet you at night, it works. We meet you in Joburg, it works. We meet you in Polokwane, it works. We get to you in Kiani, it works. It works all the time. The effectual. Effectual means it works all the time. All the time. All the time. So the participation of your faith can work all the time when you come to the place of precise, exact, accurate, wholesome, or holistic revelation knowledge of every good thing. Every good thing. Now that you're in Christ, the only thing in you is good things. Now that you are in Christ, the only thing in you is good things. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. Let's push a bit. James chapter 1 verse 22 to 24. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholded himself and goeth his way. Straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forgets what manner of man he was. Not what manner of man he is. What manner of man he was. Because when he beheld himself in the mirror, he saw his exact identity. But when he walked away from the mirror, he forgot what he saw. The mirror there is a metaphor for the word of God. So he beheld himself, he saw his exact identity. But he didn't continue in beholding, keep looking at the mirror. So he looked at the mirror, and after a while, he stopped looking at the mirror. He forgot. He forgot that he is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He forgot that he is above only and not beneath. He forgot that he is the head and not the tail. He forgot that Christ in him is the hope of all glory. He forgot that in him he lives, in him he moves, in him he has his being. He forgot. He forgot. He forgot. He forgot because he stopped beholding. He forgot his exact identity. Hallelujah. Then the word deceiving your own selves in that scripture, when he said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The word deceiving your own selves is a Greek word. When you translate it to English, it means to be mentally agitated. It also means to have an image that is not yours. To have an image that is not yours. Deceiving your own selves. Because he stopped beholding, because he only hears and not a doer, he entered into a state of mental agitation. He entered into a state whereby now he is having an image that is not his. She is having an image that is not hers. She is having an image. So they tell her that she is under a curse. She believes it. She is having an image that is not his. That is not hers. They tell her that things will never work for you. He believes it. He is having an image that is not his. Why? Because he only hears. He doesn't do. And because he's not doing, he entered into a state of mental agitation. He entered into a state where he now has married an image that is not his. A divorce is necessary. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So he has an image that is not his. Why? He only hears, he is not doing. So it is in he comes to the place where in one moment he thinks he is. In another moment, he thinks he is not. It means in one moment he thinks that now I have the victory. I have the victory. I have the victory. Then when the vicissitudes of life, challenges of life, battles of life comes his way, he now begins to think he doesn't have victory. Why? Because he is judging his victory based on his current state. Based on the challenges. He is no longer judging his victory based on the word of God. So he concludes, because he is having a temporal challenge, that means he doesn't have victory. No, 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 no. The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even in the midst of challenges, you still have victory. Give Jesus praise this morning. So he thinks he has. One moment he's thinking, another moment he's thinking he doesn't have. So one moment you are saying, I'm a winner. Another moment, you don't know again if you're a winner or not. One moment, you are declaring, I am blessed. Another moment, you feel like you're cursed. You have generational curse troubling you. One moment, the person feels like he is prosperous. Another moment, they feel like they are not prosperous. So such a person is unstable. James says, such a person, the Apostle James says, is unstable in all their ways. In marriage, unstable. Career, unstable. Business, unstable. They are unstable. They are unstable. In raising their children, they are unstable. They are unstable in all their ways. He now made a very painful statement. He said, let not that man think he can receive anything from the Lord. Why? He's unstable. Ay, 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 ay. Let him not think he shall receive anything from the Lord. And the reason is because when you looked at the mirror of God's word, you saw that you are blessed. You saw that you are accepted in the beloved. You saw that you are righteous. You saw that you are holy. You saw that you overcome. But you, when you walk away from the mirror, you forgot what you saw. Then your circumstances becomes more real than what you saw from the word of God. And that's where many believers are. Their circumstances has become more real to them than what they saw from God's word. Many believers are in this state. When they are in the church, they see through the mirror of God's word, they get excited. But when they leave church service, when their circumstances confront them, they suddenly let go of the word of God that says they are. They let go of it. That is why Paul said, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold, lay hold, lay hold. Hold on to it. Don't let anything take it from you. Hallelujah. And they start speaking a contrary language. Because when they let go of what the word of God says, they start speaking a contrary language. Then the Apostle James now says, tells us in that scripture, that straightway he forgets what manner of man he was. Not what manner of man he is. What manner of man he was. Because when he looked at the mirror, he saw that he is complete in him who is the head of the principalities and powers. But when he walked away from the mirror, he began to see that he lacks things. He starts seeing the picture of lack Satan plays to him. Then based on the picture Satan is playing to him, he starts functioning according to the picture Satan placed to him. So his function is based on that picture. He starts behaving in line with the picture Satan placed to him. He's no longer behaving in line with the word of God. He behaves in line with the picture Satan placed to him, or the things Satan whispers into his ears, or the things he feels. Hallelujah. So such a person is not acknowledging. When you're in that state, you're not acknowledging the good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So instead of living a victorious life, you start living a life of defeat. So one moment you are saying, I'm an overcomer. And now another time you are saying, I think I'm trying to overcome. So you're not consistent in your walk with God. You're not consistent in your confession. You are not consistent in your persuasion. You are not consistent in your conviction. You are not consistent in confession, persuasion, conviction. Consistent, confession, persuasion, conviction. Consistent, confession, persuasion, conviction. You are not consistent because, you know, and when someone is not consistent in their confession, in their persuasion, in their conviction, a believer begins to have the same result like a non-believer. They start having the same result like a non-believer. They start having the same result like a non-believer. So when you put him side by side with a non-believer, there is no difference. There is no difference. There is no difference. And the Apostle James says, let not that man think he can receive anything from the Lord, because he is tossed to and fro like the wave of the sea. I pray for you. Whatever is tossing you to and fro, I command it to cease in the name of Jesus. He is tossed to and fro. Understand, friends, the Apostle James didn't say, let him not think that God will give him. He says, he let him not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because it is one thing for God to give, and it's another thing for you to receive what has been given. So the challenge that most believers have is their failure and their inability to receive what God has already given. Or their failure or inability to receive what God has already supplied. Their failure to receive. Hear this, friends. God is not going to bless you. God is not going to heal you. Why? God has already blessed you. God has already healed you. He is not going to prosper you. He has already prospered you.
God has already blessed you. He has already healed you. He has already prospered you. The death, burial, resurrection, glorification of Christ conferred and released the blessing, the healing, the prosperity. Prosperity of your soul, prosperity of your flesh, prosperity of your spirit. For brethren, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Give Jesus praise this morning. God has prospered you. He's not going to prosper you. He has prospered you. He has prospered you. He is not going to bless you. He has blessed you. He's not going to heal you. He has healed you. When you understand this, it makes it you, and you now have boldness to come to the place of prayer. It's not left for you to receive. That is why we pray. Because, friends, praying is your conduit for receiving what has already been given by God. Praying is your conduit for receiving what has been given. That is why when a believer is not praying, they cannot receive. Because there is no any other medium through which you can receive what has been given other than the medium of prayer. That's why you verbalize your expectation. That is where you give voice to what God has given. So when you're not praying, you are playing. And when you are playing, you become a prey. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not left for you to receive. In the new covenant, we receive. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. He has made available what he has paid for you and I to receive. And the Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 3 verse 37, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Then the Bible tells us 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? They are spiritually discerned. Paul arrived and saw some disciples. He looked at those disciples and said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Why? The Holy Spirit has been given on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus comes to us in Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, the conduit, when you pray, the access point, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. I pray for you today. Every testimony you've been waiting for, receive it in the name of Jesus. So it is not about giving. It is about man receiving. God has already given, because Jesus is not going to die again a second time. He died once and for all. And that one death gave you eternal victory. Once and for all. Give Jesus praise. He died once and for all. Once and for all. He was the perfect sacrifice. Perfect. Listen, friends. It is not when you prayed that God answers. Did you hear what I said? It wasn't a mistake. It is not when you pray that God answers. If God has to wait for you to pray before he makes answers available, it then means he will be reacting. And our God is not a reaction God. He will be reacting. Because imagine, oh Jesus, if the day you prayed for salvation, that was when Jesus had to go to the cross. Do you know how many times Jesus would have died? Do you know how many millions of Christians on the earth? That means the day a man remembers he needs to receive salvation, and as he's about to pray the prayer of salvation, God will say, hurry, Jesus. Go to the cross, quick. He's about to receive. Now die. Now resurrect. Now be buried. Hallelujah. God proacts. He doesn't react. Because he sees the end from the beginning. And the beginning from the end. That is why he is Alpha Omega. Not Alpha and Omega. Alpha Omega. In him is beginning and end. He is not the beginning and the ending. No. In him is beginning and end. Inside him. So he sees the end from the beginning. And because he sees the end from the beginning, nothing takes your heavenly Father by surprise, my friend. Before you were born, God saw all your needs ahead of time, and he made provision. He supplied all your needs. And that is why when you get to heaven, you know, I feel strongly that so many believers will be shocked and surprised at what God gave to them that they never received. They will be shocked. So that means I had so much abundance and I couldn't receive. And I was dying in lack. So I will even tell God, can I go back? God will say, no, you're not going here. Stay. Nudge your neighbor a bit and just tell them, I know you don't like that, but just nudge a bit. Just say, have you been receiving? So it's not when you pray that God answered. He answered already. That is why the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works were finished. When he finished, he sat down. Jesus is still sitting. Nothing is going to bring him up. He's still sitting. He completed everything. Perfect. Everything was done. He's still sitting. Because everything that you need for life and godliness, he paid for it. I say he paid for it. Let me show you a scripture to strengthen this. Isaiah 65 verse 24. Let's read together. Isaiah 65 verse 24. Let's read. At the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Go. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Before they call. Good News Translation. Put Good News Translation. Look at what it says, friends. Let's read. 1, 2, 3, go. I will answer their prayers. So it is not your prayer that brought the answer. It is the finished work of Jesus on the cross that supplied grace, and that grace supplied answers. But while they are still praying, I know what you need. But let me allow you pray, because if you don't pray, you will not receive. He said, even before they finish praying, I answer their prayers. This gives you confidence to come boldly before the throne of grace in prayers. So when you come to pray, you're not coming to pray will God answer. No. He is a prayer answering God. I often will tell you, we don't pray into storage. We pray to receive answers. Hallelujah. So, Pastor, why do I have to pray if God has already answered? You pray to receive what God has supplied, or to receive the answers grace and mercy have supplied. You pray to receive. Protection is available. If you don't pray and invoke it upon yourself, you will not enjoy protection in as much as it's available. So understand that all of these realities are as a result of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now let's examine the cross before Pentecost. Because the reason why many are struggling, you know, is because their persuasion, conviction, confession is not consistent. There's no consistency. So their conviction not consistent. So one moment, they believe that Jesus is Lord. Another moment, they believe that there must be an ancestral something done somewhere. So conviction is not consistent. One moment, they believe that, yes, Jesus is Lord. Another moment, someone comes and tells them it's a white man's religion. So they no longer believe. They say they now look for ancestors somewhere. Amandlos. So they're mixing it. Conviction, not consistent. No consistency in conviction. No consistency in persuasion. One moment they are quoting Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue rise against me shall prosper. I condemn. Then a moment, they are next by their graveside of their grandfathers, seeking for protection. One moment they are killing goats, tying the goat skin on their hands, and tying some on their waist. So on their way to church, they remove the one on their hand, but leave the one on their waist because nobody can see it. So even in the realms of the spirit, spirits are confused. Because on one corner, he has goat skin tied on his hands that proceeds from the ancestral worship and dedication. On that moment, on that hand, he has Bible. So angels are saying to demons, this is your person. No, demons say, no, he's not our person, he's your person. Can't you see Bible in his hands? I say, no, but can't you see goat skin in his hands? So they are confused. They don't know where to go to. So they are confused. In the realms of the spirit, there is confusion. Because one moment, you are by the roadside, doing all kinds of libation and sacrifices, getting involved in idolatrous worship. Another moment, you're claiming that Jesus is Lord. My friend, which one do you belong to? Can you make up your mind? So no persuasion in conviction, in confession. No consistency in persuasion, conviction, confession. I'm talking about Christians now, not unbelievers. Christians. Some might even be wearing it now as I'm speaking. Or some just came from it over the weekend. They finished it yesterday. So this morning, they have come to do church own. If Jesus prays this morning. So let's examine the cross before Pentecost. Jesus laid the apostolic foundation of the church. Jesus laid the apostolic foundation of the church. The Bible said, in Luke chapter 24, verse 25 to 27, Good News Translation, then Jesus said to them, how foolish you are, how slow you are to believe everything the prophet said. Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then to enter his glory? And Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all the scriptures, beginning with the book of Moses and the writings of all the prophets, beginning with the book of Moses. So Jesus started teaching them, beginning the book of Moses talks about the five books, the first five books of the Bible, which is Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. He started speaking, they are all called, from Genesis to Malachi, they are called scriptures. So he started explaining to them from that point to where? To Malachi. So he began to tell them that everything those people did was about him. Everything they said was about. So he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. But now when you begin to, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the message changed. Now it's no longer about him explaining himself. It's now about what he has done for us. It's no longer about what he came to do. Genesis to Malachi was about what he came to do. But after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, after the day of Pentecost, it is no longer what he came to do. It is what he has done. That is why the New Testament is about receiving, because now we are not dealing with what Jesus has done. We are dealing with what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done. So we're dealing with what he has done. So in the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, which was after the day of Pentecost, Peter stood to preach his first message. He began to teach the people, beginning from the prophet. He actually quoted Prophet Joel when he said, you know, there'll be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you know, and all of those things. He now also began to teach about the death of Jesus, how that death could not hold Jesus down. He spoke about how powerless the grave was towards Jesus. He continued on how Jesus rose triumphantly. He continued on how Jesus is seated glorified. Acts chapter 3. Peter preached the second message of the church. After the church had been established, the second message, when they healed the man at the gate called Beautiful, he preached the same message, which was Jesus died, he was buried, on the third day he resurrected, he is seated glorified. Acts chapter 5, he preached again the third message. Peter preached his third message, preaching the message of the cross, which was the death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of these messages is about what Jesus has done. Before now, it was about what Jesus is coming to do. But after Pentecost, Kapayanaba, he began to teach what Jesus has done. He died for our sins. He died for our liberty. He died so that you and I can walk in freedom. And when he preached the message of the cross, the devils in those people were provoked. Why? Because the message of the cross reminds Satan that he has no more power over those who believe. That the matter is concluded, settled. Hear me, friends. The kingdom of darkness gets confused anytime we start talking about the cross of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is about what God has done. It's about what Jesus has done. Satan doesn't want to hear it, and he doesn't want you to know it. He doesn't want you to know what Jesus has done on your behalf, because he knows that is where your victory lies. And the cross, the Bible says, is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to those that believe, it is the power of God. Understand, the cross is symbolic. What does it symbolize? The cross of Jesus Christ symbolizes the death, the burial, resurrection, glorification of Christ. The cross is symbolic. It doesn't only symbolize death. If it is death only, then the work of salvation will not have been completed. If it is death only, no. If it is only Jesus hanging on the cross, the work of salvation will have been incomplete. So the cross doesn't only signify Jesus hanging there. It signifies Jesus hanging on the cross, the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, resurrection of Jesus, and the same Jesus seated, glorified. Ha! Ha! And what does that mean for you? It means absolute victory over sin and death. What does it mean for you? It means absolute victory over the vicissitudes of life. What does that mean for you? Absolute victory over the battles and the afflictions of life. What does it mean for you? Absolute victory and peace, eternal peace with the Almighty God on the last day. What does it mean for you? Reconciliation with God. We cannot look and say, Abba, Father. We cannot call God Father. What that is what the cross means for us now. It means now that relationship between man and God has been mended. Hey! I no longer need a goat to approach God. I go to my Father because he lives in me. I live in him. That is what the cross means. It means now that the believer dwells in victory always. That's what the cross signifies. Jesus paid it all. Your healing paid it all. Your victory paid it all. Are you hearing me, friends? It has been paid for. Thunder, it has been paid for. I say, thunder, it has been paid for. He paid for it. That's what it now means. Victory. The cross symbolizes victory for anyone that will believe. Victory. Nothing can swallow you because of the cross. Nothing can destroy you because of the cross. Give Jesus praise this morning. It returns us back to where we started from. So Paul now speaking to Philemon. Is that the communication of your faith will always work when you have exact, accurate, precise knowledge. It will always work. Your faith will always work. Thunder, my faith will always work. Hey! Always! Effect, that the effectual, that your faith may become effectual. Why will it always work? When I have exact knowledge of what Jesus has done. Hey! So no matter where I am, I will prosper. Why? I have exact knowledge, precise knowledge. I have epignosis, accurate knowledge, holistic knowledge, revelation knowledge of what Jesus has done for me. What is it? The good thing that is in me now that I'm in Christ Jesus. They say things doesn't prosper there. Not me, not for me. I'm exempted. Why? Because the good thing in me will find expression. And it will compel everything that is not working to start working. They say nobody goes to that place and prosper. You say minus me. Give Jesus praise, please. Minus me. So many years ago, when we started the work, you know, we went to Indian Center. And we got a place there, one cubicle, small place. And one sister who used to be with us said, nothing works here. I looked at her. I had already, then the fire on my head was already, it was burning like, you know, God was exposing me to certain truths. I looked at her and said, not this place. I said, make sure you hang around for long. Because it will not only work. Out of this place, we will explode in growth. My friend, Ayina Marada, we stayed there so many years. No one incident. We drove out robbery in that place. We drove out prostitution in that place. We will have services in that place late in the night. Nobody was scratched. Why? I had exact, precise, accurate knowledge of what Jesus has done. That the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. He founded it and he has given the sons of men to take charge. They tell you, you know, the way the economy is now, you know, the economy, no. And my God shall supply all my needs. Not according to the economy of any nation. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You get to that business, speak to that business. Exact, accurate knowledge. Now whatever I lay my hands to do, it shall prosper. When you know, your faith will always work. When you know. He said the effectual, that is always working. Always working. Always working. Your faith can work all the time. When you come to the place of precise, exact, holistic knowledge of every good thing which is in you. That the communication, the partnership, the fellowship, the participation of your faith. My friend, listen, I declare over you, the last affliction you suffered will be the last you will ever see in the name of Jesus. That trouble that came to swallow you, I announce your victory over it in the name of Jesus. That lack around your family terminated by fire in the name of Jesus. I overturn the lies of darkness that is hovering around your household in the name of Jesus. I declare you will not die in the name of Jesus. You will live to manifest the goodness of God in the land of the living in the name of Jesus. Give me three powerful amen. Two, three. Give the Lord your praise this morning.
Hallelujah. Give God your praise this morning. The Bible says, acknowledging every good thing that is in us. Hallelujah. In the first service, Pastor said, it is paid for. Say, it is paid for. Say, it is paid for. In full. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, my wealth.
My wealth
is paid for.
Is paid for.
My health.
My health
is paid for.
Is paid for.
My prosperity.
My prosperity
is paid for.
Is paid for.
My forgiveness.
My forgiveness of sin
is paid for.
Is paid for.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lift up your voice and turn that
to
power.
Begin to declare it.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.